VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for listening to Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America. And today's topic and program is so important. I'm going to ask you to put down whatever it is that might be distracting you so you can give full attention to our topic today. If you're involved in reading a book, the radio's on the background, put the book down. You need to hear what we're going to be sharing. Maybe you're running some machinery. You need to listen intently with what we're going to be sharing through the course of this hour. There is a piece of legislation that is targeting every single church in America. Not only every single church, but every Christian school, every Christian college, every Christian Bible camp, every Christian adoption agency, every Christian rescue mission, and its reach will also impact every business, every school, every parent, every child care center, every foster care agency, every sport, every doctor, every vocation you can think of. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today indicates that this legislation is an extreme threat to religious freedom, to speech, to privacy, and to women's rights. He says this legislation will be used as a wrecking ball to churches, religious organizations, religious freedom, and to free speech. Do we have your attention yet? What is the legislation? It's the so-called Equality Act, H.R. 5. Here to revisit this issue with us, we welcome back Attorney Matt Stever, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Matt, you were on this program just 1 week ago, and we talked about this legislation, H.R. 5, introduced before the House of Representatives in late March. It's so egregious that we've invited you back to discuss this so-called Equality Act. Have I overstated impact in the open here? Did I sensationalize this legislation? Did I misconstrue its impact?
No, not at all. In fact, there's much more to say, and we have now issued some bullet points that just goes over the highlights and not everything that's involved in this H.R. 5, also known as the so-called Equality Act. It's an extreme threat to religious freedom, to speech, to privacy, and even to women's rights. It really turns women's rights, if you will, on its head, because if a man can be treated with legal equivalent of being a woman just by thinking or saying he should be, it literally undermines everything. Think of it in the context of sports. Women have track and field as an example, or boxing or whatever it might be, and you have men now that are competing in those areas, and they're literally breaking records. They're literally depriving women of their ultimate opportunity to be the best in their field, because a man's coming into their particular field saying that he is a woman, being allowed to compete as a woman. And everything that women have fought for in those particular areas, it literally turns it on its head. But there's so much more. It literally is the biggest threat to religious freedom and certainly privacy and speech that I've ever seen.
Matt, I think it's important to point out that this H.R. 5 actually equates sexual orientation, gender identity, to that of one's race.
Yeah, and the best way to conceptualize it is this. And it's in one sentence that I wrote in this bullet point that we have on our website. What you cannot do legally respecting race, you will not be able to do legally respecting LGBT. So if you cannot have segregated bathrooms, even in a church, which you cannot, because that would be a violation of the federal law involving, and local law, frankly, and by the way, this will actually require local law to be in compliance, because cities and states will all have to have compliance with this, and so even though you say, well, the federal law, I'm too small to be affected by the federal law, I don't have 15 employees, or I don't have a full place of public accommodation, maybe, you could argue this or that. All that's going to trickle down and be duplicated on the state and local level as well, because they have to comply. So what you cannot do legally respecting race, you will not be able to do legally respecting LGBT.
My.
You cannot have restrooms for blacks and whites. You cannot have shower rooms. You could not have mission trips, whether it's domestic or international, in which your church participates in a mission, short term or however long it might be, and segregate the residential places or the hotel accommodations by race, having one for people of color and one for people who are Caucasian. You can't do that. That would be discriminatory.
Okay, and this bill then is going to do what?
Well, it would do the same thing. So, like you cannot segregate in places in your churches or schools on the basis of race, you could not segregate bathrooms. Oh, yes, you could have male-female bathrooms. But if you had a man that wanted to use the female restroom, you could not prohibit that man from doing so. If you wanted a boy who wants to stay in the section of the hotel where you're having the overnight stay with the girls, you would not be able to refuse that boy. Think of it this way. If you had somebody who was African-American and they wanted to use a particular restroom, you couldn't tell that person, you can't use this one or that one, you can use the standalone family room. Well, the same thing is true here. You wouldn't be able to deny someone the right, if you will, under this new law, if it's passed, the ability to be able to go into a restroom or a facility of his or her own subjective choice, no matter how they look externally. It is only what they claim in terms of how they subjectively think and or identify. And if they say, I'm a woman, and you're discriminating against me because I can't use the woman's facility, you would be a target of discrimination. And therefore, you would have a private lawsuit. You could have the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commissions come after you as well. You could be subject to fines. And in the context of churches and nonprofit organizations, you would lose your tax-exempt status. But even without tax-exempt status, you say, well, maybe I'll give up my tax-exempt status because maybe it's time to do that. Tax-exempt status loss is just one of the consequences for nonprofits discriminating on the basis of race, and it would be the consequence for discriminating on the basis of LGBT. But for-profit organizations are covered by this as well. So it doesn't matter whether you're a nonprofit or for-profit, church or not church, you still have to comply with the law. Loss of tax-exempt status is just one of the penalties, but you still have to comply with this law. It's culture transformative.
Again, friends, as Matt was saying here, is that it's going to take the Civil Rights Act, where it mentions race, but it equates sexual orientation and gender identity to that of race. So wherever you have race saying, well, you can't discriminate here, it's going to add then sexual identity and sexual gender identity and sexual orientation laws to the very have the very same status. And Matt, what's appalling to me, according to an NBC News report last Friday, now we have the NAACP, the country's oldest African-American civil rights organization, that publicly has endorsed the Equality Act. And I thought, what an affront to their membership, whereby they're equating how one wishes to identify sexually or their gender as the same as the immutable color of one's skin.
Well, and it's just a matter of time, and actually the arguments are already being made this way, in the same way that someone identifies subjectively as a person of the opposite sex, so can they eventually identify as a person of a different race. I mean, it comes to reason that you say, well, my pigment of my skin is one way, but I'm actually African-American, even though you're white, or vice versa, or whatever it might be. Once you start breaking down objective reality, and thus the reasons for these categories of protection, because people of color, women, had faced history of discrimination, you can determine when you look at someone whether they fall into one of these categories or not, and they find that they have protection under these laws. If you then can just jump into that category, even though you're not a woman, or you're not male, or you're not black, or you're not white, but you want to think that you are, all of these categories collapse. You know, and someone might say, well, I read the law, and it doesn't say that, for example, churches will lose their tax-exempt status, or that colleges would lose their accreditation. No, it doesn't say that on the face of the law, but neither does the federal civil rights law say that you will lose your tax exempt status if you discriminate on the basis of race. And yet that's exactly what happened to Bob Jones University when it had a racially discriminatory policy some many years ago. It doesn't have that policy now, but it did, and it lost its tax exempt status. It's a consequence of violating this particular situation. Schools, even K through 12 Christian schools, and certainly colleges and universities, even though they can maintain their Christian mission, they still cannot discriminate on the basis of race. If they did, two things would happen. One, they would lose their tax-exempt status, and two, they would lose their accreditation, because all accrediting bodies require that you have a non-discrimination policy on the basis of race. And if you discriminate on that basis, you will lose your accreditation. It is accreditation criteria. Now you start adding LGBT in that same category, and exactly what happens in the context of discrimination on race, whether it's employment or public accommodations or other matters, will happen here for the entire spectrum of LGBT.
Matt, I can hear some people just breathing a sigh of relief saying, well, at least we've got the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to protect us.
No, you don't. Not under this law. In fact, this particular law expressly states that the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was almost unanimously passed by both the House and the Senate and signed into law by Bill Clinton, widespread support, that does not apply. It says specifically, expressly, that the RFRA law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act law, cannot be used as a claim, nor can it be used as a defense. You cannot claim that you have a religious free exercise right because this is part of your doctrine, part of your sincerely held religious belief. That is eliminated under this law. Churches are not exempt under this law. They were on previous iterations of this law. But the homosexual lobby withdrew their support because the previous versions throughout the past years, none of which passed Congress, but there were attempts to do so, exempted churches. They didn't like that. So to satisfy that constituency, they kept churches in here. They're not exempted. And whether you're a church or anybody else of faith, you will not be able to use the religious free exercise argument as a defense.
So, Matt, I guess when it boils down to, there will be three choices for every church across this land. One, capitulate to the law. Two, defy the law. Or three, shut down.
That's right, yeah. And when you defy the law, understand that that means penalties. Because in the case, say, for example, this, you have a race, you have segregated bathrooms. And people that come to your church or your school or your religious organization or your place of employment, they file a lawsuit. And you say, well, for whatever reason, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, then what happens? The courts and the EEOC will start assessing daily fines. And then what will happen when those fines are not paid? Foreclosure, because you will ultimately have, you know, the government coming after you to foreclose and collect on the debt that you refuse to pay.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And friends, again, this would equate sexual orientation and gender identity to that of race. So wherever you see race applying in statutes, that's what it would do to sexual orientation and gender identity. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast did the animals migrate away from Ararat after Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible tells us that after the flood, God commanded the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that they did, migrating to fill the earth. There are some modern-day examples of rapid animal spreadings, several coming from the island continent of Australia, which until recently had no mammals. Now rabbits are nearly epidemic. Another example would be a particular kind of toad that was introduced in Australia back in the 1930s, and then just 10 years later was observed over 1,000 miles away. Surely the biblical concept of migration to fill the earth is not only possible, but quite plausible. Besides that, it's true, because we're told about it back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today we're revisiting the Equality Act, so-called. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. It's H.R. 5. We understand that at some point, we don't know when, that the Senate version is also going to be introduced. We've seen a version of that, which is virtually word for word the same as what's going on in the House of Representatives. We will give you some phone numbers and some information about how you can let your voice be heard on this. But Matt, just so we don't have anybody mistaken, you are not suggesting that we should have separate restrooms and buildings and everything else for people that are African American versus white versus the Latino. That's not what this is about.
Absolutely not. Obviously, God created all of us in His image,
and
the fact that we have different color of skin, different nationalities, doesn't mean that we're not created in the image of God or that you have a right to discriminate. So it would be biblically and morally wrong to discriminate on the basis of race, no question about it. And it would also be legally wrong. I'm just talking about what the law does with regards to race. That's the best way to conceptualize this.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody understands what would happen, or should understand what would happen legally what would happen to a place of employment, a church, a school even are covered by this, or a place of public accommodation where the public gathers if you discriminate on the basis of race. Everybody should know the consequences. So the easiest way to make that analogy is this elevates this issue of LGBT to the same protected category that we currently put race at in federal and also in other state and local laws around the country.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. Matt Staver's with us. We're talking about H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. And Matt, another important point, and we brought this out a week ago, but I think it's very important that we readdress this, and that is that when they talk about matters pertaining to just the public accommodations, it goes well beyond whereby before they just used the word stadium. Now they talk about any place that provides exhibition, entertainment, recreation, exercise, amusement, gathering, or display.
Right. And then when it also says an establishment includes an individual. So an establishment, so it applies to different kinds of establishments, but you think of an establishment as an organization, but this says no, it also includes an individual. So this actually takes the existing law and across the board would expand it, across the board, whether it's race, LGBT, ethnicity, etc. The existing Title VII 1964 Civil Rights Act, the Public Accommodations Law, it takes that already in existence and now it expands it even further. They do this in order to make this exceptionally expansive with regards to LGBT, because the new category that they want to put into that law is sexual orientation and gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's breathtakingly broad in terms of how far this actually is expanded to. So any place of gathering, and it doesn't define what a gathering is. So that's more than one person gathering together. Wherever you have a gathering, that's included. It also applies to someone who provides goods or services through the Internet. So, that doesn't apply right now in the current federal law. So this is an expansion of exceptional breadth even under the current federal law.
So, friends, as I talked about, and we mentioned this last week as well, when they talk about the desegregation of public facilities, the desegregation of public education, they move that from being just a race issue, but to add sexual orientation and gender identity. It goes forth then into areas of employment and the housing, public accommodations. Matt, this even is going to encroach upon families as well. Could this not lead to parents losing custody of their children if they don't consent to either hormone blockers or even surgeries to their children who wish to identify as a different gender?
I think there's no question that that's an application here. And why would that be? Because it would be considered child abuse. The local authorities usually look at abuse, abandonment, and neglect. And if this is abusing a child based upon a federally protected category of non-discrimination, and here it's LGBT, yes, that could be a basis. In fact, it's happened in other countries. So it's not like it's hypothetical. The same thing has been already happening in other countries where some child begins to question whether they are something different than their birth sex. And the parents don't want to affirm them in that particular area, and others complain. That's where you get the issue of, the abuse of the child, and then you can get the authorities coming in to take that child away from the allegedly abusive parent because they're discriminating against that child's identity.
Matt, I know right now you, through Liberty Counsel, are advocating that the United States Supreme Court take up a counseling case on the conversion therapy, so-called, and at the same time, this legislation, H.R. 5, would put a ban universally across this nation on what is being termed as conversion therapy.
That's right, and conversion therapy is a term that the other side uses, but it's really talk therapy, and it's somebody coming into a counselor and saying, I have unwanted, at some point in time in the counseling session, I've got these unwanted same-sex attractions. I want to overcome them because they're conflicting with my moral compass and values. Right now, there are laws out there in 15 states and a number of municipalities that say that counseling is not permissible if the client is a minor under age 18. Those are being challenged. We're litigating those. But on the other hand, this law applies it across the board no matter your age. So it doesn't matter whether you're 30, 40, or 80 and you want to get that kind of counseling, 25, it doesn't matter what age you are. From zero to your life expectancy, you can't get that kind of counsel under this law. It bans that kind of counsel. So the only thing that you can receive and the only kind of counsel a counselor could give is you come into the counselor, I have these unwanted same-sex attractions, I want to overcome them. The counselor will have to either tell you that they can't or deal with that or convince you to change your moral values rather than your behavior or your internal struggle.
Matt, as you've been with us last week, again this week, it really boils down to people wondering, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm just one voice. What can I do?
Well, right now, there's more than enough people on the House to pass this bill in terms of just the sponsors that have signed on. So I think it's going to pass in the House. There's already 48 sponsors in the Senate, so all they need is three more votes in the Senate, and they pass it there. So here's where the firewall is. You need to contact your United States senator. Each of you listening have two. Contact your U.S. senator and voice your opposition to this law. You can go to Liberty Counsel's webpage, lc.org, or go to Liberty Counsel Action's webpage, lcaction.org, lcaction.org. And you can put on the end of that /HR5, and it'll take you right to the same page, in which you can sign a petition. Because here's what they're going to have to do in the Senate, and I don't think they have enough votes to do this. They're going to have to get 60 votes to overcome the filibuster before they can actually vote on whether they have a majority. We don't want them to get to the point where they can vote on whether they have a majority. They're only three votes away from getting that in the Senate. We've got to stop it at the filibuster level. And so voice your opposition to it, to your U.S. senator. That's where it needs to stop. And here's where I think the Achilles heel is. Because it does not exempt churches, it's the most far-reaching bill in existence across the country. And I think that the senators need to know, you're going to kill, you're going to destroy your religiously affiliated churches and schools. And this applies, by the way, to synagogues, mosques, all houses of worship across the board. All religiously affiliated schools across the board will be affected.
Folks, again, that's lc.org /HR5 or lcaction.org/HR5. I also want to provide you phone numbers. And, Matt, it's, I still don't think it's in vain for people to let their member of Congress know where they stand on it.
I agree. I agree. That you still need to let your member of Congress know. You know, there, even though there's plenty of votes there, I think you still need to let them know where you stand on this issue. Don't neglect them. But certainly, I think one of the main places we need to put some effort is on the Senate side as well.
The Senate switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You can find their direct numbers through Senate.gov. You also have the petition through Matt's website, lc.org/HR5. And then the House switchboard number at House.gov is 202-225-3121. You can also leave a comment at the White House, because if it does advance past the Senate, the next firewall is through the veto or affirmation of the president. And the comment line at the White House is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. 11. Matt, I think it's also important to point out that there's a lot of congressmen and senators right now that are holding, and will be over the next couple of weeks, holding town hall meetings. I know one meeting was held last week by Congressman, one of our listeners said, hey, we were at Congressman Sean Duffy's town hall meeting, and we brought this issue up. He said, we don't know. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue what this is about. And the town hall meetings, these one-on-one meetings with senators and congressmen, is absolutely critical.
It's very critical. You know, some of them may not know what it's about, may not have crossed their radar yet, but I can tell you what, it's going to be crossing their radar if they haven't learned about it pretty quickly. And they need to be prepared before they get blindsided, because this is not just your non-discrimination. You know, there are some people, including Republicans, who will say, well, you know, I don't want to be tagged, labeled, or get into this debate that I want people to be discriminated on the basis of LGBT. And they're thinking of it in the context of, well, I don't want a restaurant to not serve someone because they're LGBT. That's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it would cover that. But it's much, much broader than that. This literally takes the LGBT wrecking ball across religious freedom, across privacy, and across women's rights, and across freedom of speech. And take, for example, in the schools. We haven't even talked about what would happen in the schools. But in the schools, this would ultimately result, like what we're seeing in California, you know, the LGBT history that they're now having to be taught in the schools, and there's no opt-out. In California, with the foster care parents, they have to sign a form that they will affirm the foster child in their opposite sex rather than provide them any other counsel or any other option or choice. And if they don't, they can't be foster children, or their foster kids will be removed. So this will transform schools. It will force schools to promote a radical LGBT agenda from kindergarten on. It literally will be transformative across the board.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Folks, we're taking your questions today. Comments in brief. Our telephone number, 800-733-9829. What is your reaction to the so-called Equality Act? Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Council. Again, their website is lc.org. And if you'd like more information on this in particular, it is /HR5. If you need a phone number, if you don't have access to the web and you have questions, you can contact Liberty Council at 407-875-1776. Taking your questions today and brief comments, going right to the phone lines, we have Greg who is calling in from Wisconsin. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You've seen lately where the liberal agenda is being addressed in some of these policies and procedures. It's been the case that if you have these unwanted sexual attraction to the same sex and you try to get rid of that, that you won't be allowed to do that. I was wondering, this is going to be pretty unorthodox, what if it were the other way around? What if you said, I have unwanted attraction to the opposite sex and I would like to become gay? That may seem very unorthodox, but would that be allowed? Probably nowadays it would be allowed.
Under these current laws that address the counseling, you can have it one way, but not the other way. So in other words, the one-way street, if you say you go on a street and it says one way, is away from heterosexuality. Anything that is not heterosexual is permitted. But if you want to go the opposite way, you can't, because it's a one-way street. So in other words, you can be affirmed in a situation where you don't want to be, that you want to identify as heterosexual. You don't want these unwanted feelings. You don't want to engage in this kind of behavior. They're going to push you to do so. On the other hand, if you are someone, take for example this, Walt Heyer wrote a book called Trans Survivors. Walt himself is someone who went through the whole surgery routine and plastic surgery hormones, became a Christian, ultimately went through lots of counseling, and has been happily married for many years, and he has a ministry to people who are going through this. And what he does is he has stories about someone who goes to a counselor, and they immediately send them down to the surgical route without underlying issues being investigated in terms of their stresses, their psychological issues. Then when they go through the plastic surgery and hormones and they have a change of mind later and they want to go back to the way they were, they've already removed body parts by this time, but they want to stop the hormones. They want to do as much as they can to revert to where they were actually born, because that's where they feel they should be, and they're uncomfortable as a transgender. There's no help for them at that point in time. There's no help, and the counseling would not allow them to go back the other way. And these laws would not allow you to go back the other way. You would have to affirm them, tell them that they need to get comfortable with themselves, even though they're not comfortable as a transgender. They want to be identified with, they want to look like their original birth sex.
You have to overcome those inhibitions.
Right.
Whatever religious training you've had, you've got to cast that aside.
That's exactly right. It's your religious moral issues that you've got a problem with. So you've got to change those. So it's only a one-way street, unfortunately. And it's a tragic story that he has of person after person has experienced what I just told you.
I appreciate your time in that. I know that's, I'm not suggesting that anybody do that. It just kind of,
no, I understand.
Not surprising at all. So,
but it's a good question.
Prayer for that.
Thank you, Greg. Diana is next in New Lisbon. You're on the air.
Hi. When I was in high school, I was a junior in high school, and my sister was a senior. That was in 1963, I believe. And there was a English teacher in the school who was in a sex deviant bar, and the bar was raided, and they were all taken to the police department and locked up. I don't know how long for, but parents were so upset they pulled their kids out of that class until they fired the teacher. And they stuck to their guns, and they kept their kids out of school till that teacher was fired. And that was just back in the 60s. So, you know, if people stand their guns, you know, and just just hold to their religious held beliefs and say, hey, this is it, no further, that's it. This is the line, you know, you cross that red line, we're keeping our kids out. But a lot of times I think it's the parents just aren't even going to the PTA meetings or, you know, that sort of thing. When they know about this stuff and they do nothing about it, it just keeps on going on.
Thank you, Diana. And Matt, this is something that will impact private education, Christian education, parochial education, all will be impacted.
All of it will be impacted. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to take my kids out of the public school, put them in the private school, because that's going to be impacted as well.
Thank you, Diana. Lee is next in Stone Creek, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Do you have a fact sheet? And then do we have permission to share that on our
social
media?
Yes, you can go to lc.org/HR5.
Okay.
Or just lc.org, and you're going to see the icon on that front page. Click on it, and at the very bottom of it, there's a PDF you can download and print, and it's a two-page PDF with the fact sheet.
And do we have permission to share that
Absolutely.
On our social media?
Share it as far and wide as you can.
Matt, if people want to print this and have it put into their church bulletins, they can do that.
Feel free to do it.
In this HR 5, is there anything that tries to gag us pastors?
It doesn't say that pastors will be gagged, but, you know, if pastors spoke about racial discrimination, advocated racial discrimination, you can think about how that would ultimately be impacted by the laws. Well, they're going to put this in the same level. So you start speaking about marriage as the union of a man and one a woman, and that God created human sexuality, and it is to be within the context of a married man and woman, for example. All of that's going to be considered discriminatory on the same basis as you speaking, or someone speaking, I should say, not you, but obviously it's a hypothetical,
right.
Someone speaking about racial discrimination or advocating racial segregation.
That's a bad deal.
Yeah, it is. And
the same thing for, you know, your weddings. You say, well, I could still do weddings. I mean, some states have passed pastor protection acts. Florida did, for example, and that you wouldn't be forced to do same-sex weddings. Well, the same thing here. You can't have your church open to weddings only based on a segregation of races.
Most of us pastors have started only doing weddings within our current membership and not doing any other way.
What about membership, Matt? Can a church discriminate if somebody is a different, you know, based on sexual orientation or gender identity?
Take this, that you wouldn't be able to eliminate membership based upon somebody because they have a different skin color. And you wouldn't be able to say, you're a member of our church, no question, you've been a member for 5 years, but we're still not going to do your wedding because we don't do interracial, we don't do weddings for African Americans. You wouldn't be able to do that because that would be discriminated in your place of facilities. So the same thing is here. You can have people, you can limit it to your own congregation, no question, only people that are officially members. But you know what happens is somebody becomes a member and then they enter into a same-sex relationship and they want you to perform their wedding.
Well, this pastor will go to jail before I ever do that.
No question. I understand.
I'm
just telling you that this is where the law would take you. This is where the law would ultimately force those kinds of things. And that's why it's so radical. I think we will see, if this law is passed, what you just said.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is stop it so that that doesn't come to pass.
And this is the very reason why it's important to get engaged now in this. You can go to lc.org/HR5. On his site, not only do you have a PDF download there, Pastor, but there's also a video that Matt did that's about 5 or 6 minutes long. You can even play this before your congregation, make them aware of it as well, and use the tools or resources that are there to help get the word out.
And understand, too, this is going to apply to Orthodox Jewish communities, Orthodox synagogues, who also have the same position on marriage as we do as Christians. It's also going to apply to mosques. It's going to apply to major religious denominations across the board. So this will have a wide-ranging impact.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Miami, Florida, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all of y'all, and I thank God for your speaker today. Parents, this is to open your eyes if you never thought about it before. Homeschool your kids. Homeschool. Because if this law don't pass, they're coming down again with another law to try to get it through. Because this is a warning to all of us. You know, we have to pray for these kids. We have to watch these kids, see what they're learning. And in the 60s, when you could just keep your kids out of school, this is the 2019 now. It's going to all schools and all organizations.
Matt, what would this do, Matt? You talked about homeschooling. What would this do to homeschool curricula?
Well, it could actually trickle into homeschool, and I agree with you. Homeschooling is an ideal. As I strong believer in homeschools, as the caller certainly advocates, I am with you on that. But, you know, here's what will happen. There will be certain requirements with regards to the kind of curricula that you have to have in your school, whether it's a private or even homeschool. Homeschool will be the last bastion that's hit, but I can tell you what, it's not going to be exempt. Then you're also going to have this. You can homeschool your children, and again, strong advocate of that. But then when you go to Sunday school on Sunday and you have your kids there in the church, and you got some kids in private, some kids in public, some in homeschool, guess what they're going to be doing? They'll be involved in all the indoctrination that they receive, so they're going to get it one way or another. I think that we need to have an all-out, widespread opposition to this bill, because the more you start to break it apart, the broader and the wider spread that this is in terms of how it will transform the culture. And that's why, as I read this bill and kind of think through the application of it, it is by far the greatest threat to religious freedom, speech, privacy, and even women's rights.
Hmm. Hello?
Thank you, Courtney.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I was reading Samuel 23:3, and this it relates to our house now with this bill. The God of Israel said to the rock, which is Jesus of Israel, speak to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The house, the devil is sitting up on those non-believers' shoulders, dictating to them with this kind of filth, and that goes for the Senate too. So, saints, get in touch with them. Please get in touch with them. God bless you all, and praying for you and your kids. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Terry is next. Go ahead, Terry. You're on the air.
Yes, what would be very useful as while this thing is progressing is to do two things on your website. Have an annotated version of the bill where after every paragraph you explain it to us lay folk what that prior paragraph meant. Secondly, keep a list of all the congressmen who has either supporting it or against it and what date they took that stand.
It's really
we're going to actually put that on. We're working on that latter part of it. We were just having a meeting this morning, and that will be going up there soon. So that both of those are good points.
Okay, thank you much.
Thank you, Terry, for the call. And matter of fact, when you look at the bill itself, all the names of the supporters are right there. We're going to take a quick break and come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Folks, check out the website, lc.org/HR5, and you'll have access to a lot of information about this legislation and more that will be going up on the site as well. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, we have some pastors in America that are twisting the real meaning of Romans 13 to declare that Christians are never to be involved in opposing their governments. They should vote, but pretty much that's it. No lobbying, no legislation, nothing. Well, this form of pietism is very dangerous, and it plays right into the hands of the revolutionaries. The red-green axis, the Marxists and the Muslims, trying to carry out a revolution in our America. Because it says that we should not oppose them because all governments are ordained or approved of God. That is false. God allows governments to come and go. He is sovereign. He's in control. God creates nations.
God does not necessarily create every government that comes along. Man is free to create government and abolish government and reestablish government. Man is also free to oppose tyranny in order to fulfill the purpose of government, reward the righteous, and punish the wicked.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, if you missed the phone numbers, writing those down, we'll give those before the close of the program, so be ready to obtain those, and we'll get you out a phone number to a Liberty Council, we'll get you out their website, and lots of information. Right now, it's to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, brothers. Not only does this give special rights, or in this case, more special rights, because they already have some, to sexual perverts, but it repeals part of the Bill of Rights without due process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got your freedom of religion, your freedom of free exercise of your faith in jeopardy here, and that means the First Amendment's in jeopardy as written, and so are all the other amendments.
Yeah, and, I've never seen a bill anywhere passed or proposed by Congress that actually says on its face that you can't raise the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You cannot claim free exercise of religion as a claim or defense, and yet this is exactly what this does under Section 1107.
And I also think this is what's going on. The Muslims got a wink and a nod on this one, so they won't be affected. They'll just simply enforce it selectively if it were to pass.
Hmm. Well, you know, this also, one of the things we haven't talked about, it also amends the Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race in housing, whether it's, you know, a realtor or a rental. So in this particular case, it amends it as well. And so if you have a place in your home that you rent out to someone, you will not be able to say, I'm not going to rent it out to a same-sex couple or to transgender. I live in the home. I've got my children in the home. We have a bed and breakfast, or it's just an extra room in our house, and you have college students, for example, that rent it during the semester. Again, this will affect you as well in that private home, even if you raise your children in that private home.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Don, Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim and Matt, it's always good to hear you guys speak up for righteousness, what's right, and for truth. The H.R. 5 thing, you know, needs to be shot down. And I'm no politician, brethren, but when I was lost, before I knew Jesus, I wrote a song called Identity Crisis. And that's what this is all about. You know, we were looking for, in my generation, stability factors, such as your birth, mm-hmm. your sex, your employment, your spouse, your religion, preferably biblical Christianity. And seems like it's jeopardizing the rights of the true and free.
No, it does. And, you know, one of the other things we haven't mentioned, there's so much to mention, is that this includes someone who clearly is confused about their gender, a man who thinks and wants to be identified as a woman. But also, even if you have a man who is comfortable as being male or some other thing of that nature, and you're not making a decision, whether it's in housing, public accommodations, employment, whatever. You're not making a decision based upon the fact that they're LGBT. But they can allege that you actually thought that, even though you didn't think that. In other words, it's like someone, think of it like this. It's hard to get your mind around it. Somebody is Caucasian, and you take a particular action toward them in the place of employment or accommodations. And that person then says later, they file a claim against you, I think they did it against me because I'm black. Well, there's no way. Obviously, in that particular situation, you can tell visibly whether they're a person of color or not. In this particular case, they can actually claim that you thought something that you really didn't think and still have a claim against you. In other words, they can make it up. The point of this is it's so far-reaching. I mean, you can't make up whether you're a woman or not, at least up until this thing gets passed. You can't make up. You can't pretend whether you're black or white or not. It's pretty obvious. But under this law, it's whether you're perceived or not perceived. Whether it doesn't matter whether it's actual or just somebody's perception.
We're going to have to move on. Rich in Burlington, you're on the air.
I have a quick question. Wondering, I have a friend who is involved at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. How would this affect when they separate? They care for people coming in off the street, coming in from abused situations who've lost their homes and need to be there with their children. How would this affect them?
Rescue missions, Matt, battered women shelters, et cetera.
All of those are affected, so a man could sleep and bunk with the woman by claiming subjectively or just stating that he identifies as a woman. And if you said, no, the men's section's over here, the women's section's over here, and you refused that person, you would be guilty of discrimination on this federal law.
It's all-encompassing. Leroy in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas, three quick comments. A, if a man is going to identify as a man, that's what he is, nothing else. But, Matt, when you go to court and fight this, let them know that you're representing some people that self-identify, that are poor and self-identify as millionaires, so we're going to have to make them rich. Also, if we're going to continue down this path, there's only one result, and it's the Lord coming back.
Thank you for your thoughts on that. We're out of time. I do want to have time to get you some information here. The website, lc.org/HR5. Lots of downloadables there. More to come. You can also call Liberty Counsel at 407-875-1776 for more information. To contact your member and members of the Senate, 202-224-3121. That's 224-3121 or Senate.gov, House.gov, 225-3121. The White House comment line, 202-456-1111. Matt, so you've got 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners?
Well, certainly get involved. Find out what this is about. Go to lc.org/HR5. Lots of information. We'll continually update it. Make sure your pastor, the people in your sphere of association know about this, and then take action. Time is of the essence.
And friends, keep in mind, as Matt has said, this legislation would be used as a wrecking ball to churches, religious organizations, religious freedom, and free speech. Don't put your head in the sand on this one. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, my pleasure.
And friends, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Absolutely critical. Now, each one of you is a watchman on the wall. Make sure you give a very certain sound. It's a sound of warning that danger's approaching. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.